Okay. One thing I hope you notice is that it doesn't take that long. I mean, we're taking 17 verses here. If you take a pen or a highlighter, for me, I took a green highlighter, green for God. That doesn't continue to work out, but that on that one worked out. I took green, I highlighted, and it didn't take but a couple of minutes to go through and say, okay, there's a reference to God the Father, there's a reference to God the Father. Well, that pronoun, that's probably referring to God the Father. Doesn't take long to identify that. But then drawing out the theology is going back through and seeing, can I make a truth statement here about God? So we're not going to go through all that you highlighted. We already talked about verse 1. You know, you would have had the gospel of God. What statement can you make about God? God has a gospel. And again, then you can branch out and say, what is it? What does that mean? What does it teach? What does it concern? Why is it important? You can ask questions. And from that comes your theology about God's gospel. I want to direct your attention to, did you have one in verse 9? Okay. You had one there, right?
Two.
Very good. From the first one, I want to see who could possibly make. Now, what I want you, what I want to challenge you to do is see if you can make a tentative truth statement from what you see about God in verse 9. A tentative truth statement. Ellen.
He is omnipresent.
Okay. Now, that's going broader, go a little narrower to like specifically. I mean, that's a true statement, right? And we're going to say, yep, you're right. But more specific, what do you think you might be able to say about God from what Paul says about God in verse 9?
God watches
me. And in particular, more specific?
He knows your thoughts.
Based on the verse, say again. He knows your prayers. Right? God is a witness to your prayers. Now, I don't want you to answer this question, but could you say, I mean, if you could definitely say God is witness to how much I pray, that's for sure. But how many of us could say what Paul says, God is my witness that I make mention of you always without ceasing in all my prayers? Because we might be able to say, God is my witness that I don't always pray for you. Right? We might not want to call him to be witness on that one. God is my witness that I don't always pray for you guys, especially not some of you. Whoa! But how about this true statement? God is the witness to our prayer life. Yeah, for sure. That might not be a happy statement. Paul, being so confident that he does pray all the time for the saints in Rome, calls God as witness, saying to the Romans, this goes back to what Jason said. I mean, he's demonstrating his genuine affection for them and saying, listen, you in Rome, I haven't met you yet. I haven't come there yet. But I'm telling you, God is my witness that I am praying for you guys all the time. I mean, if you're a Roman, you're thinking, wow, I don't know. I'm not sure my mom prays for me all the time, or my dad, or my pastor, or my brother. But Paul is. And he's calling God as witness. Now, you might not get that unless you go through and say, all right, what do I see here about God? And then you make a statement that God is the witness to my prayers. Now, the much broader is that God sees everything. He's omniscient. The slightly narrower is God knows my thoughts. But the more specific is God witness to my prayers? Does he know my prayer life? Does he know how much I'm praying, for whom I'm praying, when I'm praying? Yeah. That might be sort of a kick to say, man, he is witnessing my prayer life.
Can we also say that from that same verse that God is the witness to our, how do I say this? God is the witness to the motivations behind our acts of service.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
Would that also be an accurate statement?
One of the things that I'm going to always be challenging you to do is to try and make statements that are as accurate as you possibly can be. For example, what if I said from this, verse 9, he says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." What if I said to you, I want to give you a statement that's not 100% accurate, and that you should be able to look at the verse and go, that's not quite, I don't see that quite there. I don't know. I hate to try to make an inaccurate statement. what if I said, now I could say this: God is the one that Paul was serving. I mean, you see that one there, right? Because he says, "Whom I serve," and I go, "God is the one that Paul was serving." You go, "Yep, I see that." What if I say, "God is the one all Christians are serving with their spirit"? Well, this verse doesn't say that, right? It doesn't say God is the one that all Christians are serving with their spirit. Paul is affirming that God is the one that he's serving with his spirit. What if I said, "God is the one that Christians ought to serve with their spirit, just as Paul said"? And now you'd probably go, "Yeah, I see how you could draw that out of there." And I could bring in some other scriptures to bear that out. What you want to try to do is make statements that are as accurate as possible and can be supported by what's in the verse without going beyond that.
Because option one, so basically the first option is that God is the one Paul is serving.
That one for sure you can say, right? Now could I, I'm going a little bit away from, could I say, like Paul here is an example for us, and like him, he's the one that we ought to be serving with our spirit in the gospel. And you go, well, can you show me that from any other places? And I could show you that Paul says, imitate me. I'm a pattern for you, right? Follow me as I follow Christ. And I could say, well, one of the things Paul is giving us here is an example that God is the one he serves with his spirit in the gospel. And now we'd want to say, what does that even mean? Yeah, it's defensible. Very good. It's defensible. And so you want to make statements that are defensible either from this particular verse or from other verses. Take a look at verse 16. You would have had something there too, right? "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." Now, I can make this statement, right? God has a power that is unto salvation, whatever that means. It sounds a little like, what does that mean, right? But I can say to you, God has some power that is unto salvation. And you go, well, what is it? And I go, well, it's the gospel. His power unto salvation is the gospel. Now, what if I said to you, God has only one power that is unto salvation, and it's the gospel? Can I support that with this verse? No. Could I maybe support it from other verses? Well, I can, because I've had to support that one. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, here I would look and say, see where it says it is the power of God? I'd go into the Greek and I'd say, is the article there, the word the? It is. Well, that's saying there's something very specific. This is the power of God unto salvation. And then I would go, is there any other power of God unto salvation revealed in the New Testament? No. It's consistently the gospel. I'd go to 1 Corinthians 1:21. I'd go to Romans 10 where it says, and how can they believe unless they hear? And how do they hear without a preacher? You know, there needs to be the gospel preached. And then I would come back and I'd say, God has a power unto salvation. It's the gospel. And that is the power of God unto salvation. And now I would defend it with the verse and with a lot of cross references. That's what he's using. He's not using sticks to beat him into salvation. He's not using signs in the sky. He's using the foolishness of a message preached to save those who believe. And therefore, we need to preach the gospel. All right, let's do another one. Any other thoughts, questions, comments? How about verse 7? Did you highlight something in verse 7 about God? Okay, very good. What can you say about God from verse 7? He's the source of grace and peace, right? Where do you get source? The word source isn't there. Where do you get that? From, right? Grace to you and peace from God our Father. And if you were to say, listen, beloved, God is our Father. Well, is he everyone's Father? Who's our? God is the Father of, what do you think? His children. And his children are those who believe. Okay, and then we could show that from other verses. So you could say, listen, for us who believe in Jesus Christ, God is our Father. We are brothers and sisters. God is our Father, and He is the source of our grace and peace. He's the source of unmerited favor. He's the source of confidence that our relationship is right with Him. I can defend that from this verse, even though the verse doesn't say all that I just now said. So what is the point of going through and drawing out theology? You find there's way more there than meets the eye. That's what you find. You find that there's so much more the Spirit is teaching you that you could just bypass and not see it unless you're going in and saying, all right, Lord, what are you teaching here about God? Let's pick, for sake of time, for homework, I'll give you, go through and highlight, underline, circle, whatever, references to Jesus Christ. There are tons of them. For mine, it's pink. You see a lot of pink up there, right? Yeah, there's a lot of pink. I thought, well, red for the blood of Jesus. That was my color association. I want you to, and I'm going to give you a smaller section here. A really small section for the sake of time. I want you to look just at verses 11 and 12. And in our 10 areas of theology, one of the areas was practical ministry. So I want you to take a pen or color or whatever, and is there any practical theology, practical Christian life and ministry theology in verses 11 and 12? Just take a minute or two to highlight what you see and think about whether you can make a truth statement about practical Christian living for verses 11 and 12.